Well, we certainly thank you, Pastor Tom, for leading us in prayer, wonderful scripture, and just the encouragement that you got. You know, I don't know about you, but I've already been ministered tremendously today just by the lifting up our voices to the Lord and being in prayer. Just really encouraged this morning. I hope you are too. So let's go ahead and open up our Bibles together to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, where we'll be looking at verses 8 through 10 for one more time. The final time we're going to look at that, I'm going to let you find your place and that kind of stuff, situate yourself and wherever you're at. And something I was thinking about, you know, what it's like at home for you guys right now is what it's like when you're at church and you're in the front row. You know, we always have all this battle about who's going to be back all the way, but you know, what it is now, you're getting to experience what it's like to be in the first row during church. So remember that, and then when we get a chance to get back together, you guys can all fight over the front, you know, that kind of thing. These three verses that we are looking at fall into a section of scripture that I've entitled Living Out a Transformed Life in the World. And we've been looking at that and getting into this whole chapter. Chapter 13 emphasizes in a general way on how we are to live out this new life that God has given us through Jesus Christ in our relationship with those in the world. That's what we're looking at. It's a general way. It's not too particular. But in verses 8 through 10, the focus is on loving others. We have covered enough to know and be convinced that God's word instructs us, teaches us that central to us living out this transformed life in the world is our choosing to love others. We've been looking at that in a lot of different ways, but that's an important thing that we just got to stand on and recognize that in our life, you know, we're going to live this new life that God has given us. It's going to be shown through us living in a life, loving those that are in our life. We have seen in our daily lives, in our everyday living, we are to choose to act on behalf of others toward God's best for them. That's what it looks like to love. And we noted that loving others this way is a mark or is a proof or is a response to you choosing to love God. It's pretty reciprocal there. And we've been kind of talking about that as we went along the way and kind of looking at it. But you choose to love God in all that you do. And when you do that, you love others. That's the point of what the Apostle Paul's getting here to, and we'll dig into that as we go on, but there's many ways I want you to capture this. Let me say it in a few different ways, so this kind of just gets on our heart, what we're really going to solidify in our understanding of God's Word here today. Out of the action of loving God, you obey Him and His Word, in that you love others. That makes sense, doesn't it? Let me read that again. Out of the action of loving God, when we love God, we obey God, we honor His word, and when we do that, what we do is we love others. Another way to say it is when you choose to love others, to love people, you do it for God's glory, not our own. It's not meant for us. It's not meant, you know, people will say thank you and all that kind of stuff, but it's always to display God's love for them. Yes, we are the beneficiary of following God. We get the blessings of following God, by loving God and the action of loving others, yes, all the goodness of God, but the glory and honor is His in all points to Him, not to us. And that's another way to look at that. For all of us know, you know, I know, all of us know that the ability, the life, the wisdom, the heart to love others is from Him and Him alone. As we follow Him, we love others. Isn't it that way? That's the way it is, isn't it? Even though we have this new life that desires to love God and wants to love God, it's as we follow Him in our relationship with Him, we do this. This action of love for others comes to us in God's saving work. We recognize that. He gave you a transformed life, Romans 5, right? With a new nature and a new heart and new desires and not enslaved to sin. And this action of love flows out of our lives as we walk by the Spirit of God and not carry out the desires of the flesh. So again, it's God bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, one would be love, joy, peace, all those, out of our life as we follow Him. And what we've been doing as we've been studying the 8 through 10 here, we've been on kind of behind the scenes, we've been capturing this in our understanding all along the way. Another way to see this, another way to think about it, is nobody really loves others in this godly love we've been looking at without following or submitting to God's leading. We really don't, because it's the fruit of God out of our life. It's us being used by God to bring forth His love for other people. It's following the Lord and He using us to do that. So this love for others is produced out of a transformed life. Yes, it is. as we follow God, loving him. That's the central idea. What we're really going to get clarity today as we go through the rest of our message today, looking at the last two points. We'll do some review, but that's what we're going to capture today. We're going to see that and understand that this is how this works in our life with our relationship with God. So now, as we looked at our text, verses 8 through 10, I pointed out three features of Christian love in it. One, the debt of love, what we owe. I mean, you know, we owe this debt of love. We've looked at that extensively. Two, we're going to get into that today. The discharge of love, how we pay it. And three, the design of love, God's purpose for it. We're really going to kind of finish up this section today. So look at verses 8 through 10 with me, and let's read our passage for this morning. Romans 13, verses 8 through 10, here's the word of God. It says, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." I want you to look at this with me. We've dug into the scriptures about the debt of love that we owe others. We've looked at it a lot, but let me review that for us. This love debt is defined as agapeo. It's in it's not in your outline, it's in mine. You haven't printed one off, but it's been in our outline for a while. This definition of what this love is, we ask that question. It's to act on behalf of someone else by choice with passion towards God's best for them. That's the defining thing that is. Then we came up with these six areas of love by asking the question, how do we demonstrate that godly love? This is the way that Jesus loved us. Remember, this is the way God loves us. And this is the agape. This is the highest form of love. This is that we choose to act with passion on behalf of someone else for God's best for them. That's the kind of love that God wants us to love people with, to do this in our life. So it's demonstrated by these six areas we looked at. Pretty extensive, captured most of it. But one, we love others by teaching others the truth of God. You remember, it's in our hearts of compassion and in our heart of humility and kindness and patience, we're caring to share the truth of God from salvation through sanctification. Now, I want you to think of that for a moment. We care in our life to share the truth of God to anybody that needs to hear about Jesus Christ, to anybody that needs to know about the truth of Christ. And then to us, each one of us that have come to faith in Christ, to what it looks like to follow Christ. We talk about that. It's a life that we have. We share the truth of God's word. We share this is his way. Maybe this isn't his way. We share this. That didn't honor him. We share this does honor him. We do that. Our love for others desires people to know Christ. And for them then to walk with Christ according to the truth of God's word. As it says in Ephesians 4:15, to grow up in all aspects of the Lord Jesus, to be Christ-like in our life. That's God's goal in our life. That's us loving others and loving God, and that's what we want to do. So, number one, teach others the truth of God. That's love. Number two, we love others by ministering to needs of others. That makes sense, you know? So loving others is coming to them in ministry, right? Think about it. You come to them meeting a need. Whatever that need might be, it might be a spiritual need. It might be a physical need. It might be a financial need. And we looked at Luke 10 and saw that that was the central point of Jesus' teaching on the Good Samaritan. We looked at all of that and saw somebody came along, right? There's an opportunity. And they, in their heart, just said, this is what God wants me to meet a need here. This is loving others. And we do that in the church all the time. And we minister to each one's need. So to love others, we embrace the opportunity, like Galatians 6:10 tells us, that God has led us to do good to all people, and we meet needs. That's what it looks like, to demonstrate love for others. Number three, we then saw to love others is by setting an example. That's pretty simple in our lives, right, to be an example to people. But the example that we looked at, God calls us to be, is what does it look like in reality to be a follower of Christ? I want you to think of that for a moment. What does it look like to your kids? What does it look like to grandma and grandpa or your neighbors or the people you work with or wherever you're at? Are you setting an example? Hey, this is what it looks like to be a follower of Christ according to God's word, according to the truth of God. This is what it looks like in reality. We teach God's truth and we seek to live God's truth. That's what it looks like in reality. That's love for others. It includes It includes obedience, right? That's a setting an example. It includes confession, repentance, conviction, change, growth, forgiveness. The example is that God is the authority of your life and you seek to love and honor him in all your living. That is loving others. It's setting an example. Fourthly is what we saw from last week. We love others by forgiving. This is important in our life. To love others, we're going to have to forgive. Things are going to happen. We're going to be offended. Things are going to come against us, all of that kind of stuff. And we can't let bitterness or wrath or anger or malice come upon our heart. We have to forgive others' offenses. It's so that we'll continue to love others like Christ loves us. Like he says, let all that go. So and forgive one another, be kind to one another, so that you will walk in love like Christ loved you. So if you're not forgiving, here's the thing, the bottom line, you're not going to be loving. You can't really love someone you forget. You haven't forgiven. You're going to see some sort of judgment, some sort of thing that has to be made right. Then we saw that we love others by enduring. Enduring, that's an important part of all of this. You're to stay patient, exercising understanding. Do that toward people, even if you suffer for it. I want you to think about that, too. That was important as we looked at last week, right? You know, to demonstrate the love of God, to demonstrate the love that God has for us, we're going to have to be enduring, aren't we? We just can't be quick all the time, right? We just can't say, oh, well, I tried. You know, I was kind. I said a kind word to my neighbor, but then, you know, he did something again, and now I'm just about him, right? We can't do that. We have to be enduring on what God wants us to do and how God wants us to live. Persevere in it. It's what God wants us to sustain love towards others. We all remember Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 from last week, right? Where we, generalizing it, it says, you're to seek to run the race of faith that God has set before you. We all have this race. Are we going to believe God, trust God? We're to set this, to run this race, to seek to do it, to endure like Christ endured. You remember how Christ endured? He endured the sin against him. He endured the suffering that he went through. And why? To love you and me all the way to the cross and through it. What if he would have just endured for the, 3 years of ministry and I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to endure. I'm going to have all the pain and suffering. But when I get to the cross, I'm not going to endure all the way. That wouldn't have been good for us, would it? So that's what we're looking at. This is God asked us to endure like Christ endured. The things of life, to continually love others. That's what it demonstrates. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to continually love others. I'm going to ask God to direct me and guide me in how to do it. And then you remember his enduring love, the Lord Jesus Christ's enduring love. We need to remember it so we don't lose heart. That's what it ended in Hebrews 12, verse 3. We got to remember that he endured in loving me all the way through it all so I don't lose heart in continuing to love others. That demonstrates love. And then the last point, as we concluded last week, we love others by willingness to sacrifice. By willingness to sacrifice. I want you to think about this for a moment. First and foremost, in your start of your Christian relationship with God, on how you follow Christ, on what Jesus said, very simple, you have to have a willingness to lose your life to gain his, don't you? That's the truth of Christ. He said, those that will lose their life to gain mine, those will follow me. You have to deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow Christ. The baseline bottom part about being a follower of the Lord is a willingness to lose what in our humanness or our flesh we think life is about. And be willing to let all that go to be a follower of God. To follow Christ. A willingness to give up or not have for the sake of others. A willingness to obey God and follow him no matter the cost so God can use you to love others. These were tremendous. This was a tremendous focus when we went through this. I had to break them up because I couldn't preach them all at once. I did this now, but that didn't really get into the depth of them. But tremendous truths to demonstrate this love that we owe as a debt to pay in response to God's love for us. That's the review of what we've covered so far. But in our next 15 minutes, let's just cover the last 2 points from our text. The second 2 points are, let me find them. Living out a transformed life in the world. Godly love is demonstrated by these things that we look at. We owe it to love others. We have a debt of love. And now we're going to look at the discharge of love and the design of love. So the discharge of love, that's in verse 9 and 10. Look at it again with me. And here the Apostle Paul is, what he's doing, he's summarizing how you pay the debt. That's what he's doing. How you discharge the debt of love. And he's summarizing. Listen to what he said in verse 9 and 10. For this you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, he's just summing up. To discharge a debt is to pay it, isn't it? And that's what he's doing here. He's telling, in a very simple way, in a very summarized way, to discharge is to do everything that needs to be done in order to complete something. And that's what he's saying. That's what he's getting at. Look at verse 10 again. He says, here is this discharge. Here's how you, the summing up of how you pay it. So you are to love your neighbor, as it says in verse 9, and then verse 10, and love does no wrong to his neighbor. There you go. That's paying it. That's the discharge. To do everything that needs to be done in order to complete something. And here's what he says. You want to pay the debt? Then don't do any wrong to your neighbor. No wrong. That's the summing of it up. We looked at how it's demonstrated. Here's the discharge. Hey, we just don't do any wrong to your neighbor. The word wrong here means harm, injury, evil, sin. That's what he's saying. To love others, you are to do no wrong to them. You're not to sin against them according to God's word, God's truth. The right or wrong here is according to God's word. That's important. Not what men think is right or wrong, but what God says is right or wrong. That's an important distinction. So as a believer in Christ, to love others that God has asked me to love, that what he has wanted me to do in this life, that the debt that we owe to pay to love others is to do no wrong against them. It's to do no sin against them according to God's word, according to what God has put in his word, not according to man. We get that. For we know men will tell us it's wrong to tell people that there's only one way to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I mean, how many times have somebody told you that's wrong? It got to be a bunch of ways. How many times have you been told it's wrong to talk about sin? It's wrong to tell people, well, that's sin. God doesn't agree with that. That kind of thing. No, you know, it's not according to what man says is wrong, but according to what God says is wrong. So here's the simple discharge of love. We're to live our life in a way that we don't do any wrong to anybody. That's what he says. That's pretty big, isn't it? That's not that easy, is it? Right? But we're looking at our life in this. And look at verse 9. Look what he says. For this, what's that mean? He's referring to you loving your neighbor, to you loving others. For this, so you love them, you shall not commit adultery. Do you know committing adultery is doing wrong to your neighbor? I mean, he puts it very simple, you guys. It's very simple for us to understand. For this, you don't commit adultery. That's not loving your neighbor. For this, you don't commit murder. Okay, that's not loving your neighbor. We get that one, right? Keep it simple for us, God. We get it. For this, you don't steal. You don't steal because it's not loving your neighbor. It's doing wrong to your neighbor. For this, you don't covet. You don't want all their stuff, right? That's not loving your neighbor. But listen to what he says. And if there is any other commandment, it's summed up in saying, love your neighbor as yourself. He's saying this. And any other commandment God has given, meaning whatever God's word says that we are to do in word and deed or not to do in word and deed, so you are to do everything that needs to be done in order to complete something in accordance with God's word in relationship with others. We're to obey God's word. We're to obey his way. Anything that God has written in his word, anything that he said, do this, don't do that. Most of it's do this, right? He says stay away from that, but it's mostly go this way. This is the way you walk by the Spirit. This is the way you follow God. This is the way you honor God, right? And so he starts off with, well, it makes sense. You know, if I commit murder, I'm doing wrong to my neighbor. And then he says, if you don't follow God's word, you're doing wrong to your neighbor. That's what he says. That's not loving your neighbor. Well, you're stuck right now going, well, you know, I thought that was between God and I thought that, and he's saying, no, you know what fulfilled the law of God? You to do no wrong to your neighbor. You see, God puts it in a love perspective here, doesn't he? And that's an important aspect that we're going to look at here. But he's wanting us to see this in really in a simple way. to love them, you do no wrong to them. That's the point. That's the discharge. You get this right? I think we all get this. The discharge of love, the debt you owe, love does no harm, no injury, no sin to his neighbor. Let me ask you, did Jesus ever do any harm, injury, or sin to anybody that he ran into? But he admonished people. He corrected people. He tried to hold out the gospel to them. He did all that he did as a human being here, but he never did. He never did no wrong. He fulfilled the law, didn't he? We're not supposed to either. Philippians 2:3 says this, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, that's the humility of Christ, regard one another as more important than yourself. Then in verse 5 through 8 of that same Philippians 2, Jesus regarded you, your spiritual life, more important than his temporal life. That's what that's saying. He laid this down. He didn't seek God's honor. He obedience to the death of the cross, all of that. You know what it was? He was demonstrating how Christ considered your spiritual life more important than his temporal life. That's what he did. He laid it all down. He laid it all down to do no wrong to his neighbor, to love others, to obey the Father out of love for the Father and love for you. Let's kind of dig into this a little bit. Will you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5 with me? 2 Corinthians 5, we'll look at verse 16 or 6 through 15 for this morning, but I'll give you a chance to turn there. 2 Corinthians 5, look there with me, and I'm going to walk us through this section with this discharge of love on our mind. I want you to see how this kind of fleshes out in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 through 15. Now, we all know verses 1 through 5, Paul is talking about that we have this eternal home awaiting us. So Deborah was talking about it today. For we know, verse 1, that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we have this new home, we have this new life, we have this eternal new body that awaits us. Our new life in Christ longs, he says, for that place, longs for the new clothing, longs for the new body. God has promised it to us. He's promised it to us. The guarantee of it is his Holy Spirit indwelling us. That's the pledge of it. So it's ours. It's true. You can't take it away, and that's what Paul goes through in verse 6. He says, therefore, since all that's true, now let me repeat that. What's true is that God has promised a heaven, a home in heaven, a new place, a new heaven and earth, a new body, not like this one, won't want to sin, won't decay, won't fall apart, all of that, right? Therefore, that's all true. Listen to what he says. Being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So while we're here in this body, while we're here on this earth, yes, the Lord is present with us, but not in physical presence. One day, heaven, new body, physical presence with the Lord, all of that, incredible stuff. And so we're being of good courage, knowing that we haven't got there yet. And so now we walk by faith, verse 7, we walk by faith because we got to trust in him and believe in him and in all the promises of God in his word. We don't walk by sight yet, but that one day we'll walk by sight. Won't that be incredible? One day we'll walk by sight. Verse 8, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. Now, if you understand the truth of what God has prepared for you and the promises of God in your salvation, this is your living hope right here, isn't it? This is your living hope, right? This isn't the end here. This isn't I didn't know Deborah Weldon was going to write that letter, but it's all true. The opening act. That's what I liked, right? Right? This is a temporal, the opening act, but this is our living hope. God's working all the way through this. We get all this wonderful things here and all going on, but that's what the Apostle Paul says. Stay with me here. Look at verse 9 and 10. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing the Lord. See, that's our ambition. It's to please God, to please the Lord, whether we're here or whether we're there. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Now, catch that. That's our strongest desire from God, to be pleasing to the Lord. It's in your new life in Christ. And we all know that one day Jesus will evaluate how we live for him. Today, our focus on love for others. One day, God will look at all that And God will recognize and remember forever when you chose to love others. And you chose to follow him and love others. When other things you did, it'd just be burned up. But he says, we all know that's going to happen. God's going to see all of this. But now look at 11 through 14. Now stay with me and capture this when we're thinking about the discharge of love. Verse 11, therefore, knowing the reverence of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and hope that we are made manifest also in your conscience. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but also giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. Did you hear what he said? We hope that God is showing you, it's manifesting out of our life. You're seeing, what are they seeing? What are they seeing? What does he hope that they see? People are in appearance, they're acting like this, but those are those fake apostles, those other teaching wrong things. He's saying, I hope you guys see it's manifested to God. I hope it's manifested to you, that you see in our heart that we love you. Look at what it says next. That we've been loving you. Verse 13, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, and if we are sound-minded, it is for you, for the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Here's what Paul says. I hope you see our love for Christ. It makes us beside ourselves. That's over the top, guys. That's over the top, beside ourselves in seeking to love you. We hope you see that we're over the top in teaching God's truth. We hope you see we're over the top in ministering to needs. We hope you see that we're over the top in setting an example, in forgiving, in enduring, and being willing to sacrifice to demonstrate the love that God has given us for you. We died to self. That's what he's talking about. I don't have time to go through the whole Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, but that's what Paul was wanting the Corinthians to see, the demonstration of love that we've been covering. And he says, it's the love of Christ controlling me. It's the love of Christ motivating me. It's the love of Christ that I'm living for I died for myself. And to live for what? Look at verse 15. Listen, look what he says. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Did you get that? Love controls us. To love others, to discharge this love to its fulfillment, is in a response to the Lord's loving you and your love for the Lord. You love because he first loved you. We all know that. You love the Lord, and in loving him, you love others because the love of Christ controls us. It motivates us. It guides us. It pushes us on. That's point three in what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Turn your Bibles back to Romans 13. The design of love. This isn't hard to get. It's just hard to live. Back in Romans 13, verses 8 through 10, the Apostle Paul says it twice. He who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Verse 8. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 10. That's if you love God, you love others. To fulfill God's word, to fulfill God's way. In loving God, loves others. That's all he's talking about. It's not complicated, but it has profound depth. So I thought about this a lot. How I could make this clear in a simple way, good illustration of what the Apostle Paul, what God is wanting us to see here. Let us all understand on this debt of love and this discharge of love and this design of love that God has in these three verses for us to capture. So I'm going to illustrate it using your children. I want you to think with me. As any parent, you desire for them to see the importance of keeping God's word, don't you? We all do. Every parent wants their child to see the importance of obeying God and honoring God's word. And then when they don't obey, we show patience, humility, and kindness. Yes, the character of love. But you teach them that there's consequences to disobedience, don't we? God wants us to. There's consequences to sin. We all need to know this. We need to know it from God's word. You need to know it from the truth of God. So we learn, and your children learn to obey out of fear of consequences. It's an important aspect of your relationship with God. We get that, but that's what they learn from. But also you teach your children the blessings and goodness of God toward their life when they obey and follow God. Well, you teach that true, right? That comes through God's word. When they obey and follow God, it's God's way to giving them God's very best and God's best for them. We need to know this. All of us do. We don't obey God. We don't get God's best. That's a truth. There's consequences to sin, but there's the goodness of God as we follow him. Those are true things. And so we learn to obey and follow God by out of God's blessings. Somewhat becomes about gratifying to follow God, being gratified. I want God's best. I don't want to miss the education that he wanted me to have. I don't want to miss the life that he wanted me to have. I don't want to miss, you know, I don't want to miss the opportunities that he had for me. I mean, if I don't follow God, I can miss a lot of those things. And we teach our kids that. And then we teach them, you know, and there's consequences to sin. If you go down that road and just disobey God, you know, those kind of things, there's consequences. We learn that. And we all need to learn that. We all need to understand that. But neither of them is the fulfillment of the law. It's not what he's talking about here. What James calls in James 2:8, if you're fulfilling the royal law, according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Or as Paul says in Galatians 5:14, the whole law is fulfilled in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So you want to learn this. I want to learn this. We all want to understand, and God teach this to us and to our children, what he's talking about here. Here's that royal law of love, that love's design. God the Father loved God the Son. God the Father sent the Son to do a work of God. Jesus, the Son of God, loved the Father, so it's reciprocal love. And so Jesus obeyed the Father out of a love for the Father. He obeyed God's word, trusted in God's word, followed God's word in loving you and me. Jesus loves you by choice with passion to act on behalf of your behalf for God's best for you because he loved God the Father. That's the love of God. Yes, does God love us? Yes, does Jesus love us? Absolutely. But first and foremost, Jesus loves God the Father. And if he didn't love God the Father, he wouldn't have loved us. That's the truth. That's the fulfillment of the law. That's doing no wrong to your neighbor. That's how love fulfills the law. I want you to get this. He loved you and me by choice with passion to act on our behalf for God's best for us because he loved the Father. So he fulfilled the law. He followed the word of God all the way through. And that's the design of love. For you and me in our transformed life, you have a new life. I have a new life. With all the capacity, even desire, to truly love God. It's in our new nature. We studied in Romans 6, 7, and 8. It's in you to love God's word. It's in you to love God. It's in you to love your enemy. It's in your new nature. And as you love God, you will love others like Christ. That fulfills the law of God. You will, by choice, with passion, act on behalf of others for God's best for them because you love God. That's the motive. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you should want to demonstrate your love for me, you will keep my word. Here, the word is love does no wrong to his neighbor. And you do it not out of fear of consequences. You do it not out of self-gratification. You do it out of love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart to love God. Love is the fulfillment of the law. This love is shed abroad, like I said, in our heart. Peter said, in your salvation, God purified your soul and gave you a sincere, real, genuine, godly love to love others. For you have been born again. This is the love of Christ. This is the love of Christ that God is manifesting, that God is growing, that God is displaying and maturing in each one of our lives till we grow up into all aspects of Christ. You obey God, follow his word because you love God, and because you love God, you love others. This is the love that we desire, isn't it, you guys? This is the love that we desire our children to see. I hope they see my grandkids see that I love them as grandpa. I hope they see I love them in the ways that humans love each other. But the most important love that I want them to see is the love of Christ. Wouldn't you agree? That they would see, it would be manifest to them, that they would see that Grandpa loves them like Christ loves me, and that he teaches me truth, he ministers to my needs, he sets an example, he's forgiving, he's enduring, he's willing to lay it down, give up things for me to know the love of God. Isn't that what we want our spouse to see? Isn't that what we want our neighbors to see, or our friends to see, or the world to see? And the Word of God says God brings it out of our lives as we follow Him, loving Him. It's His work in the life of the believer. It's not for us to make it happen. It's for us to submit to Him and it happens. Right? Always back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. We'll close with this. Always back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Where the first thing that we do in acknowledging this new transformed life that we have, Paul writes, I urge you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. All of us know what that says is, here I am, Lord, losing my life for you, willing for you to shape my mind, shape my life, guide me and lead me so you can prove what the will of God is. And the will of God is the love of Christ, is it not? Absolutely it is. The love of Christ that pierces the heart, that reaches somebody for the salvation of souls, to change them, to show them their sin, to show them that God loved them and gave up himself so they could be rescued and delivered. The love of Christ that has us stand in grace with all hope and living hope. The love of Christ that controls us, that guides and leads our lives each and every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and for just the encouragement through the whole service and the songs we lifted up to you and the testimony of Deborah and then the prayer time and all those things are on our heart. All of this, Lord, in this. I think we're more sensitive to everything going on right now. We probably slowed down enough to even recognize some things. We pray that it would all be used by you, Lord, to mature us, to grow us, for us to see them, the importance of the life that we live. And it being a testimony to the people around us what truly it looks like to be a follower of Christ. We ask for your forgiveness where we've fallen short, for all of us have, and we want to continually one step after another learn to grow and be more like our Lord and love others as you've called us to. But we are so grateful, Lord, for the work that you're doing in our lives and continually do in our marriages and in our families. We want to praise you and lift up our voices to you, Lord, and thank you for your goodness to us. So in the text, Lord, the debt we owe is to do no wrong to others. We want to fulfill your law of love, the royal law. We're going to need you in all of that, Lord. We want to encourage all of us to seek after you in this. And say, Lord, show me this, help me do this, and then the testimony will be, look what God does in our lives as we follow. We just give you praise and thank you for today. In Christ's name, amen.